back to the ageturners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you that you would have a normal Christian life and a normal church life so that the Lord might be able to use you to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And today we would like to continue looking at the story of Lot in contrast with Abraham. This is a very particular story, a unique story in all of the scriptures that has a very particular message to those who are the second or third generation among God's people. Thank the Lord that in His sovereignty, the Lord provides such a story that we could learn from, that we could draw a number of lessons from for our experience today. Thus far, we have seen that Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, was brought into God's way by his uncle Abraham in a passive way. He was passively brought into God's way by another. And this mirrors the experience of so many of us. We were brought into God's way by either our parents or older siblings or aunt or uncle, a grandmother or grandfather, maybe a neighbor. We were not seeking the Lord of our own initiative. We were brought maybe to the church life. Many of us were just brought to the children's meeting. But the mercy of the Lord is that we were brought to God's way. So this is not a negative thing. What is negative is if we never take any initiative to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord, and we remain in this passivity, just drifting along like a piece of driftwood. Well, in the story of Lot, we can see that in chapter 13 of Genesis, as Lot was traveling with Abraham, he was very blessed by the Lord, to the point where he had himself flocks and herds. And it says in chapter 13, verse 6, "And the land could not support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was," this is verse 7, "and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And at that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land." And in verse 8, "And Abram said to Lot, let there please be no strife between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers." So you can see that Abraham was not comfortable with the contention, the strife that existed between Lot's herdsmen and his own herdsmen. And when he presented this to Lot, Lot took this as a way out. Lot took this as an opportunity to separate himself from the proper spiritual influence. Now, we did mention strongly that we should not be the ones that are passively brought into God's way by others, and that we should not remain passive. We should not remain in a state of never taking initiative. However, we should realize that the older generation is a kind of protection to us. The older generation is a covering for us, and we should not leave the covering of the proper spiritual influence. What was the temptation here? Actually, material possessions became the temptation for Lot. He cared more for his material possessions than for staying with his uncle Abraham, who had been the one who had the appearing of the God of glory. So actually, brothers and sisters, worldliness became a test. Worldliness became a test to Lot. And this is often the case, that worldliness becomes a test to those who follow the spirituality of others. Actually, worldliness, or the love of the world, is a test to all believers. In 1 John 2:15 it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him." Concerning this matter of the world, there is an excellent footnote in the Recovery Version for 1 John 2:15. I will not take the time to read that, but I encourage you to take some time even to study this, and even to study this with others. Here we see that the world is a system, an arrangement, an ordered system set up by Satan, the adversary of God, just for the purpose of ensnaring mankind, and especially to ensnare God's people. We must not love the world. Loving the world, even a little bit, gives the ground for the enemy to defeat us. And we can see in the story of Lot that his love for material possessions was the test, and he failed this test. And this eventually led him in a downward spiral until he reached a situation that was wicked and sinful before God. Of course, this doesn't mean that our material possessions in themselves are evil, but somehow the enemy, God's enemy, our enemy, Satan, uses these possessions to ensnare us. There is a difference between sin and the world, or dealing with sin and dealing with the world in this way. Sin contaminates us, but many sins are very obvious. But the world, not only can it contaminate us, many things in the world do contaminate us, but even if not, still the things of the world can occupy us and even possess us inwardly. So, brothers and sisters, we must be careful concerning our love for the world, our love for the material possessions. In Matthew 13, there is a parable that I'm sure most of us are familiar with. The Lord Jesus is talking about a farmer, a sower, and he goes out to scatter the seed, and the seed falls on four different types of soil. There's the wayside, there's the rocky soil, and then there's the soil with the thorns, and finally there's the good earth. And in the section on the thorns, the Lord explains what the thorns are. The thorns are the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. And in Luke 8, in the sister portion to Matthew 13, the Lord also mentions that the thorns are the pleasures of this life. The pleasures of this life, which includes all the entertainment. What are the thorns? Actually, if you look at the picture in this parable, the seed is sown, and it sprouts, and it starts to grow, and it grows well for some time. However, the thorns are growing alongside, along with the proper growth. And eventually, the thorns choke the growth so that it doesn't bear fruit. And brothers and sisters, this is really the case. We've seen so many young people who are loving the Lord, giving themselves to the Lord, enjoying the Lord, and going on in the church life. But as they get a little older, they don't realize that because they never dealt with this matter of the world, the world, the love of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for the pleasures of this life, were growing alongside, and eventually They choked the growth. So that a young person who graduates from college and starts working, their intention is to be in the church life, but just because they started earning a little money, they didn't realize that there was this was doing something negatively in their heart. And their love for the Lord, their love for the Word, their love for the church life, for the meetings, was just gradually being choked. So we have to be careful. We have to know ourselves, and we have to be open to the Lord for His enlightenment. We shouldn't think that there's no love for the world in our heart. It's very interesting that in both 1st and 2nd Timothy, these two books that were written to a young person, that in the final chapter of each of these two books, Paul gives a strong warning word concerning the matter of loving money and loving the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it says, "But having food and covering, with these we will be content. But those who intend to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into destruction and ruin. For the love of money is a root of all evils, because of which some, aspiring after money, have been led away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains." Oh, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't so easily think, "Oh, I don't have this problem." We really need to open to the Lord in His Word, that He would have the ground to shine into our heart. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, to me, this was startling the first time I realized what this was saying. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, "For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age." Demas was actually a co-worker of Paul, most likely older than Timothy. And he labored with Paul to a certain point. And then he abandoned Paul. He abandoned his ministry. Why? Because of the love of the present age, because of worldliness, because of the love for the world. But what can we do once we realize that we have the love of the world, that our heart is drawn to so many things in the world? Well, it's not a matter of just making up your mind and exerting self-effort. We read before 1 John 2:15. Now I'd like to read 1 John 2:14. Says, "I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Brothers and sisters, our hope is in God's Word. The way to overcome the love of the world is to be in God's Word every day and allow the Word to abide in us. We need to come to the Word, be open to the Word, and let the Word operate. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth." The Word of God has the sanctifying power, the sanctifying ability. So what we need to do is not focus on our love for the world, but focus on the Lord Himself in the Word. And eat the Word every day, and spontaneously He will operate in us to replace the love of the world for the love for Himself. And of course, every day we should just tell the Lord that we love Him. Lord Jesus, I love You. Lord Jesus, I love You. Lord, grow in me. Lord, I pray that Your Word would make home in my heart, would dwell in my heart richly, and deliver me from every element of the love of the world. Well, brothers and sisters, That's all the time that we have for today. As always, we would like to hear from you. So if you have any feedback or fellowship from either this podcast or from anything on our website, please always feel free to write us at contactus@ageturners.com. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we pray that your word would dwell in us richly, and we pray that you would make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.